Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And it feels like a law of nature. Someone breaks their 2-year-old smartphone, they go to the store and find a new one that's faster, cheaper, just plain better, as computer chips keep getting better. Engineers have a name for this. It's called Moore's Law, and it's about to celebrate an anniversary. Next year will mark 50 years since engineer Gordon Moore pointed out this trend. But now the question is, how long will this trend last? Our tech partner IEEE Spectrum sent Rachel Cortland to Hawaii for a rare interview with the man himself.
Gordon Moore lives in an empty-looking subdivision on the Big Island of Hawaii, on a windswept bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Hey, Dr. Moore.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Rachel.
Nice to meet you. You come in?
Please do.
Gordon Moore is now in his mid-80s. He was one of the founders of Intel back in 1968 and later served as its CEO. Looking back, he says there was a period when he felt awkward about the law that bears his name. Now, he's proud of it.
But I finally gotten used to it. Sort of anything that changes exponentially these days is called Moore's Law. I'm happy to take credit for all of it.
Next spring marks the 50th anniversary of the paper that launched Moore's Law. In 1965, Moore observed that the number of electronic components on chips had been going up for a few years.
And I just did a wild extrapolation saying it's going to continue to double every year for the next 10 years, going from about 60 elements to about 60,000 elements on a chip. A pretty wild extrapolation, but I thought it might get people's attention.
And it did. Nowadays, computer chips can have billions of transistors, the little switches used to perform calculations. So how did we get here from there? Moore's Law worked because of one simple rule.
By making things smaller, everything gets better.
For decades, making transistors smaller made them faster. And smaller meant cheaper because you could pack more into the same space. For chipmakers, it was an irresistible win-win, and one they wanted to keep going as long as they possibly could.
Although it started out as an observation, it fairly quickly became the goal of our industry.
That's Mark Bohr, a senior fellow at Intel.
Without Moore's Law, I think we would not have computers that you could fit in your hand and do what a big desktop computer could do 20 years ago. It would be much bigger, consume much more power, and be a lot more expensive.
Moore's Law may look like magic on the outside, but it's hard work making transistors smaller and smaller. And it's getting harder and more expensive. Transistors are now so tiny that atomic scale effects are starting to interfere with their operation. And that raises the big question. When will Moore's Law come to an end?
Well, that's the question I'm always asked, and other senior engineers like myself are asked continually. It's really hard to say. We can't see the end. You know, we have technologies and research that will be coming out in 6, 8, 10 years. And so I can see Moore's Law continuing for at least 10 years. But beyond that, it's pretty fuzzy.
Engineers are looking at alternatives, such as carbon nanotubes, to the silicon-based switches we use today. But Gordon Moore says we might have to get used to a slower pace of progress. But whatever happens next, 50 years is a pretty good run.
It sure is. It's carried on far beyond anything I could have expected.
For Here and Now, I'm Rachel Cortland on the Big Island of Hawaii.
And now you know. And Rachel's story comes to us from our tech partner, IEEE Spectrum. You're listening to Here and Now.